It's the Congressional Corner, and I'm Ian Pickus sitting in for Dr. Alan Shartok with one of our favorite guests. And I say that as producer and guest host Tim Versalotti. He's the Western New England University pollster and professor of political science. And Tim, thanks for being with us. As we speak, President Trump has kicked off his reelection campaign. Seems like he never stopped running, but how do his chances look for 2020?
You're right about the never stopped running. In fact, he filed for re-election not long after he was sworn in at the start of his term. We have a couple of different metrics to look at for how he's doing money-wise. He blew the doors off in the first day after announcing. He raised almost $25 million. That's about four times the amount that Joe Biden raised in the first day after his declaration. Now, in fairness, President Trump has the Republican fundraising field to himself, while it's a pretty crowded field on the Democratic side. But still, he's showing he's coming to play and play hard. Polling, on the other hand, is a different situation. What we know is that the president, his job approval historically has ranged from the mid-30s to a ceiling of about 45%. He's never been above 45% since taking office. And that's showing up in his polling as well, not just nationally, but in critical swing states. Recent polling had him lagging behind most of the leading Democrats in Florida, for example, which has 29 electoral votes. Remember, he finished with 46 electoral votes above that cutoff of 270. So he doesn't have a whole lot to play with here. He's also lagging behind Joe Biden in a recent poll in Michigan, which has 16 electoral votes. And nationally, a Fox News Opinion Dynamics poll, and let me say something as a survey researcher, people may quibble with the political viewpoints of Fox, but their polling is pretty solid based on my professional assessment. Their most recent national survey had the president lagging behind or tied with all of the leading Democratic contenders, lagging behind Joe Biden, for example, lagging behind Bernie Sanders, and then running about even with Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and Pete Buttigieg. So in terms of polling this far out, the president's got some work to do.
Let's talk about polls a little bit more in a minute. First, back to the money which you raised. How important is that? And I ask because the last time out, Donald Trump was badly outspent by his opponent, Hillary Clinton. What does he need to do this time, and how important is that money race?
Well, the president's campaign is expected to raise and spend $1 billion in the 2020 cycle. The President Trump is running a very different campaign for 2020 than he did in 2016. 2016 was almost improvisational in nature, in part because no one, perhaps even the president, expected him to go as far as he did. He did invest in big data and did invest in some fairly high-tech metrics in terms of identifying persuadable voters using the techniques of Cambridge Analytica. But it seemed pretty improvisational. This time around, very different. Media accounts tell us his reelection campaign is very well staffed, very well funded, and taking a much more systematic and scientific approach to mobilizing the base. This is definitely a base-focused campaign, not a campaign focused on swing voters. All of that costs money, and so this time around, the president will be very serious about fundraising.
And what about for the Democrats? I mean, there are 24 of them as we speak, all gathering from the same pie. How much money is a Democrat going to need to take him on?
Well, the Democrats are going to have to find a way to match his resources in terms of not just working on metrics and predictive analytics, but also field organizing. For the Democrats, it too will be a base election. They haven't written off winning back swing voters, winning back those voters who went for Obama in 2012 and Trump in 2016. But they've got to fire up important constituencies who didn't turn out in the numbers that they needed in 2016. Most importantly, African American voters. So that kind of those kinds of field operations around the country, those cost money as well. And we're seeing a difference in approach among the leading Democrats in terms of who will or won't take PAC contributions. Elizabeth Warren has been very clear about that. Joe Biden, however, has not set any restrictions on his fundraising, mindful that there will be no restrictions on the Republican side. And so it's very clear the Democrats are going to need to match the Republicans in terms of fundraising. How they do that, though, there are disagreements about the strategy.
Okay, let's get back to the question of the polling itself. Now, President Trump had a high-profile dust-up with his own pollsters and has dismissed polls that show him struggling or behind in places that he needs as being fake polls, fake news. So do you think there's some truth to what the numbers are showing about vulnerability for him? Or, you know, is this just a strategy of always discounting the bad news?
I think it's very hard to judge polls unless you can see the internal methodology of it. And campaign polls are notoriously difficult to get a hold of, not just the numbers got out, but the under the hood information. How are they drawing their samples? How are they identifying likely voters? And so it's hard to judge whether those polls are accurate or not. What we do know, though, is when a president's national approval ratings hover in the low 40s, those are trouble signs. And so that might lend some credence to this idea that his internal polling is showing him behind. What we also know from President Trump, from various many media stories checking on his claims and their veracity, is that the president does not hesitate to state things that are simply patently false when it suits his purposes. So when he says we're ahead in every state, I think based on his track record, based on the verifications that have been done by many, many media outlets, we need to take that with a grain of salt.
You know, I think it's only the second time in American history that we had three presidents serve two terms right in a row leading up to President Trump. So in recent history, I mean, how likely is it that a president loses re-election?
It's not all that likely. The last time we saw it happen was when George Herbert Walker Bush lost in 1992, in part over concerns about the economy. Lyndon Johnson, who ascended to the presidency on the death of JFK and then won a full term in 64, elected not to run again in 68 because the country had turned so severely against the war in Vietnam that he was concerned about his chances. In general, incumbent presidents have an advantage. They have a fundraising advantage. They have an organizational advantage. They have the trappings of the office, Air Force One, state dinners, state visits abroad, the ability to appear statesmanlike on the world stage. And so that contributes to presidents tending to win re-election. As with many, many things about the president's 2016 campaign and his time in office since then, a lot of those old rules and rules of thumb are by the wayside. I think most of us have learned our lesson about predicting or prognosticating when it comes to President Trump, and we just go along for the ride and see where it goes.
That's Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. Tim, it's always great having you on the Congressional Corner. Thanks for letting me pinch hit. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about a Bay State senator.
Sure.